The United Soccer Coaches is pleased to bring you the United Soccer Coaches podcast with Dean Linke. The United Soccer Coaches podcast is released the third Thursday of each month. If you have a guest you want featured on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, please reach out to Sarah Wilbur with suggestions, questions, and input. Her email is swilbur@unitedsoccercoaches.org. That's S-W-I-L-B-U-R at unitedsoccercoaches.org. In addition, if you have a company that would like to sponsor the podcast or run advertisements in the show, please reach out to partners at unitedsoccercoaches.org. That is partners at unitedsoccercoaches.org. Founded in 1941 and based in Kansas City, Missouri, the United Soccer Coaches has grown into one of the world's largest soccer coaches organization that serves members at every level of the game. United Soccer Coaches works every day to inspire coaches and ignite their passion for the game so they pass it on to their players and others in the soccer community. Dean Linke is approaching 30 years as a television play-by-play broadcaster, reporter, and host. In addition, Dean has a long history as a U.S. soccer employee and ambassador, including serving as the senior press officer for the 1994 U.S. Men's World Cup team. Dean took the leap to the broadcast booth with Major League Soccer's Colorado Rapids for the inaugural season of Major League Soccer in 1996. The former television voice of the NSCAA College Soccer Game of the Week on Fox Soccer Channel has served as the voice of the association for more than 20 years. So let's get the show started. To do that, here's Dean Linke.
I am Dean Linke, and today on this show, as always, we make sure we cover multiple layers of soccer, information we need to hear and must share as we build up to the 2026 convention in Philadelphia. Today on the show, four fantastic guests. We start with NSCAA United Soccer Coaches lifer, Allison Pronsky, who serves as the association's managing director and really stepped up when the association needed her the most. She has spent her entire adult career with the association and with a smaller staff has been ready to step up and cover whatever is needed. That includes college services, which she will cover today. So college coaches, you will want to hear what she has to say. She is also a great mom to three wonderful children, including her son Benjamin, who on Monday morning helped the Kansas Rush ECNL Regional League team to another ECNL RL National Championship at the U17 level as Ben Pronsky scored the winning goal with less than a minute remaining in the second overtime to give the Rush and this specific team back-to-back ECNL RL National titles as they also won it last year at the U16 level. Well done, Ben Pronsky, and well done, Kansas Rush. The Kansas Rush is coached by Noah Parker, a bright young coach who has a great way about him. United Soccer Coaches has always cared about the youth game, so Noah joins us after Allison to talk about the Natty they just won, the Kansas Rush, and he shares some great stories about how his father introduced him to the association at an early age by taking him to a United Soccer Coaches convention. Great visit with Noah. Speaking of great visits, we need you dialed into this show because Jason Newman, a man who never seeks the spotlight but went into overdrive to help save the association, gives the most transparent interview we have ever had, saluting the National Staff Office for holding it all together and going into great detail about the 2026 United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia and so much more. He truly is plug and play, and you will want to hear Jason Newman. And finally, we always make time for our coaching communities, and we do that again this month, getting to know Dan Turry, who is now the chair of the Disability Allies Coaching Community for United Soccer Coaches. We know Dan's daughter, Anna, really well, but now Dan deserves the spotlight, and we give it to him. Allison, Noah, Jason, and Dan on this month's show, and we get to it after this message from United Soccer Coaches.
Calling all soccer coaches, players, and fans. Get ready for the ultimate soccer experience as we celebrate 50 years of the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia, PA, January 14th to 17th, 2026. This is the can't-miss event of the year where education, innovation, and the passion for the game come together in one incredible location. Whether you're a coach looking to level up or a business professional in the soccer world, this convention has something for you. We're talking about world-class world-class educational sessions led by top experts in the game, a full exhibit hall showcasing the latest in soccer gear, technology, and the business of soccer, and so much more. You'll have the chance to network, discover new trends, and experience everything the soccer world has to offer. Celebrate 50 years of growth, achievement, and community in Philadelphia. Join us January 14th to 17th, 2026 in Philadelphia, PA for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. Visit UnitedSoccerCoachesConvention.com to register now. See you in Philly.
And welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. As I said, a great show with friends and people that are important to the game and important to the association. And that includes the managing director of United Soccer Coaches, who kicks off the show, Allison Pronsky. Allison, thanks for kicking off this month's edition of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's great to have a conversation with you.
Yeah. Now, Allison, everybody knows about some of the bumps we hit before we got to Chicago, but during that time, you stepped up big. This association's been important to you, so I think you're going to tell me you had to answer that call.
Yeah, absolutely. Last spring, we knew things were in a bad position, so we brought in Joe Cummings for a couple months. He did a lot of the dirty work finding out what was going on, but then Joe needed to go back and resume his life in California, so he suggested to the board that I take over as managing director. And quite honestly, there are no other options but to do that. This association has been such an important part of my life that I was either going to hang on till we got back to where we were in a good place, or I was going to go down with the ship.
That's well said. So let's get everybody caught up. How long have you been with the association? And for that matter, Allison, how did you find the association?
Yes, I always joke I've been there way too long, but I found the association. I had to have an internship as part of my degree in college. So I started in August of 99 as an intern in communications with Mike McFarland. I did the rankings and all that type of thing. As I was finishing that, they moved me into a position with him full time. And then about 6 months, 8 months later, I moved over to education when they hired two full-time education people. I ran the courses, which I did probably about 20 years. And then I want to say it was 22-ish where I moved over to membership, became director of membership. And then that's where I was until last spring or summer when I moved up to managing director. So
you
had a little taste of a lot of it.
You're a lifer, true and true then.
Well, I really am. Yeah. They've been great to me, like when my kids were younger, and it's just been a great place. I mean, obviously the past year has been difficult, but it's been a great place to be through all of it.
We're going to get to a great place when we end the show, when we talk about the Kansas Rush and your son, Ben Pronsky. Folks, you want to hang on for this. I had the great honor of calling it, but it's super exciting. Before we get to that, though, you wear a ton of hats. Of course, Sarah Wilbur, who helps with the show, wears a ton of hats. And a lot of the people with the national staff wear a ton of hats. But right now, you're putting on your college services hat. You know I love college soccer, so I'm glad you're on to talk about that. So let's just dive right in, Allison. What is college services with the association, and who benefits from it?
Okay, so College Services is a team membership that provides access to the awards and rankings program. So if you're a college coach and you want your players to have a chance to win any of the awards, you want your team to have a chance to be in the ranking, you need to be a part of College Services. We have it for all levels, so Division I, II, and III, junior college, NAIA, we have it all. But also part of the College Services program is that the head coach then gets an individual membership, which gives them access to all of the benefits a normal regular member would get. You know, the general liability insurance, the soccer journal, discounted rates for convention, education, foundation grants and scholarships. And then also just the networking opportunities through our coaching communities, which have really grown over the last few years. So any college program can benefit from it, but really, you know, not every team ends up in the rankings, but lots of teams have opportunities to win awards, and you just can't do that if you're not part of the program.
That's fair. Now, are there any new benefits for college services this year, Allison?
So actually, yes. You know, like we were talking about, last year was a difficult year for United Soccer Coaches. And truthfully, the college services membership was probably one of the hardest hit groups. After Trish Hughes left her position as a college services manager, that spot was never rehired. So they just didn't have the advocacy things that they used to have. So this year we've gone in and we're hiring representatives for D1, D2, and D3 men and women, people that can help fill that role that Trish left. But we decided to break it down by division so that it can be more specific to the needs of each division and gender. Last spring, we put together a group of United Soccer coaches, staff, and board members to really dig into college services, see what the coaches were feeling. We heard things weren't good, but we needed to hear actually from the coaches. So we did some surveys, got feedback, and know that one of the big things is we took away the printed awards a couple of years ago, and that was a big hit. So we're going to put printed awards back in. We're still working on the logistics, how it's going to work. Are we going to mail them to you, pick them up at convention? Stay tuned, more of that to come. But that's going to be a big thing that I think coaches will be happy about. Legal is a big issue right now. So we're working to identify a preferred legal team that all the college services programs, if anybody needs legal advice, they can come to us and we can say these are the people that we recommend. And then we are also putting together, the education team is working on a specific course webinar. We're still finalizing it specific to the college service member. So some hot topic in college soccer that they would benefit from that we'll have, before the season starts later this year.
To me, that shows that you're listening. You heard them say they need more, and obviously there was a vacancy there, and now you're not only looking to fill it, but you're looking to fill it trifold. I mean, you got all three divisions covered.
Yeah, we really have to. I mean, membership is the heart of what we do. And without members, United Soccer Coaches doesn't stay alive. College services is a big chunk of that. So we really have to listen to them. And then the bigger goal is after convention, when the coaches are done with their seasons and have a little bit more time, we want to put together a group of representatives from each level, each gender, board member, staff. It won't, that sounds like it'll be a huge group, but 10 to 15 people where we regularly meet to discuss what college services looks like moving forward. It's really a program that, as long as I've worked for the association, hasn't changed that much. And we just need to reimagine what it looks like moving forward.
It sounds like good news, and good news to the college coaches as their college season is getting ready to roll. In fact, I know we'll have some college coaches on as we lead to the convention. And, they don't always come, but we always would want to see more college coaches at the convention too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have college open meetings, closed meetings for all the college coaches. We try to cater to that group as well. So it would be fabulous to have as many of them there as possible.
Kicking off the show with Allison Pronsky, the managing director of United Soccer Coaches. And Allison, knowing that you've been there pretty much your entire adult life, and again, going through some a little bit of adversity, when you look around and see this tight unit, you got to be proud of the people that are there supporting you at the national office, I would believe.
Oh, absolutely. We went from 28 staff down to we're now at 7 in about an 18-month period. So, yeah, we couldn't have done it without the 7 that are left. Everyone works hard. Sarah Wilbur goes above and beyond every single day. We have some volunteers that do a lot of work, but absolutely, there's no way I could have done it without the staff that's around me.
All right, you're also a mom. I know a mom to Benjamin, but I'm not sure, Allison, how many other kids you have. How many kids do you have?
Yeah, I have two others. I have an older son and an older daughter.
Okay.
Yep, so three total.
Have any of them scored the game-winning goal to win a national championship in the final seconds of the second overtime, like Kansas Rush's Benjamin Pronsky did just a couple days ago? Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, the other two never had that opportunity. They've always been real good about their teams and, they all played competitive soccer, but his team has always just kind of been unique. It's a unique group of boys that are just very committed. And my other two just never ended up in that position as much. So, nope, they
It
never had that opportunity.
it's beyond unique. Let me tell you, folks, this team, this Kansas Rush team that won the U16 ECNL Regional League National Championship, just won the U17 courtesy of the Benjamin Pronsky goal, really at the death. They're 33-0-5, and your son with the game winner ostensibly at the death. I mean, they had a kickoff and maybe two taps and the game was over. So it's a winner at the death for your son. I mean, I gotta believe he's flying high.
Oh yeah, he was so excited. Still is so excited. It was a long travel day getting home yesterday after the game, but he had a pretty big smile on his face all the way through it. Got to carry the trophy on the plane, all that good stuff. So, yeah, he was loving life.
Special moment for me because I've known you last year when he got in the game. I'm like, wow, this guy's he's got talent, but he's tiny. This year, as he's checking in and my broadcast position is right by him, I'm like, Benjamin, you added 3 or 4 inches, didn't you? And he turned around, he's like, yes, I did. And it showed out there. I mean, his body is matured and his game
Yeah.
is now top level. You got to be proud.
Oh yeah, I always joke with everybody because when we come back from high school, there's a lot of boys we haven't seen for a few months, and I just said, "Yeah, we watered him while we were gone, and he finally grew." So, yeah, no, it was. I'm say he's smiling. It's something I'll never forget. Pretty exciting.
Well, to add to it, one of the things I love about the Return of the United Soccer Coaches podcast is I love talking to people in all facets of the game. And Noah Parker took over for his dad at Kansas Rush and really loves these kids. A young coach, only 28, acts a lot older than that. He's going to join us next to talk about your son's goal and winning another title and the fact they're now going to the National League. What can you say about Noah Parker, our next guest and the coach of your son's team at the Kansas Rush?
Oh, he's been fabulous. Yeah, we started with his dad Abdullah when my son was six, and then Noah took over a couple years ago, and he's so great. He's good with the boys. He gives us all the time we need. We've started all the college conversations with him. He's just a great guy. He just found his calling, and I don't know. I couldn't say enough nice things about Noah.
Well, you said calling, and I called Pronsky with the winner. It'll be left on me forever. And Allison Pronsky's a winner as well. Thanks so much for kicking off this week's United Soccer Coaches podcast. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. Hopefully, we'll do it again soon.
Sounds great. We'll be back with
Okay.
Noah Parker right here on the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Are you a soccer coach looking to take your game to the next level? Whether you're just starting out or you're seasoned pro, United Soccer Coaches has everything you need to succeed. As a member, you'll enjoy discounted education resources to improve your skills, connect with coaches' communities across the country, and gain access to our prestigious awards programming. Plus, you'll have the chance to attend our annual convention, an event you don't want to miss out on. Need extra protection? We've got you covered with general liability insurance, and you'll also enjoy exclusive discounts and opportunities from our trusted partners. Join United Soccer Coaches today and be part of a team that's dedicated to helping you grow as a coach and a leader. Sign up now at unitedsoccercoaches.org. Elevate your coaching. Elevate your game.
And as promised, we welcome you back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast with the head coach of the Kansas Rush. They won the ECNL Region League title at the U16 level. And lo and behold, with about 90% of that same team, they won the ECNL Region League U17 title with the boys. Benjamin Pronsky, as you just heard, the son to Allison, with the winner at the death of the second overtime for the Kansas Rush. And once again, the coach, Noah Parker, who took over for his dad. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but let me welcome Noah in. Noah, so great to have you on the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited. Obviously, it's been an eventful week, getting it done, going back to back. Always an exciting time. But yeah, I really appreciate you having me on and appreciate having you out at the game, both years and getting to see some exciting action.
Yeah, and I actually did comment to Allison that normally I'm way up high in a broadcast booth or I'm at the Big Ten Network in a studio, but I love being there between the two teams. And I do have to applaud your quote, bedside manner. I like the way you manage the team. I like the way you manage the referee. You're not all over him, but you speak up when you need to, Noah. And for a young coach that shows a lot of promise, I wanted to tip my hat for the way you handle yourself.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I think, yeah, the handling of referees is a pretty popular subject these days. And kind of early on in my coaching career, had a few different instances where you kind of learn some things, and everyone has their good and bad moments. And one thing that I've actually gone out of my way to do is I got certified to be a referee myself a couple years back, and spent a fall just refereeing some Heartland games here in Kansas City, to kind of see what it is like on that side. And yeah, so that's something I take a lot of pride in and do enjoy. I couldn't keep up with it, at that much running at certain levels, but it gave me a greater appreciation for what they do and what they bring. And then, yeah, obviously, handling the boys is a big part of coaching, especially at the age that we're at with U16, U17 boys. And it's something I take a lot of pride in, and understanding that, you know, teams take a lot of certain character traits that they have from a coach. And one of our biggest things is that we're always calm under pressure. And so that when we find ourselves down multiple times in a national championship game, our heart rate hasn't raised too much and we're able to find ways to come back and get it done when it matters most.
Yeah, down 1-0, then down 2-1, then you get the tie, and then the winner at the death of the second overtime. You can't ask for much more drama, and I know it was hard to get back to Kansas with some delays and everything, but I think the euphoria of winning this again, Noah, is going to be out there for quite some time.
Yeah, it's a really, really exciting feeling for the team, something that we've been working towards, told the group, you know, doing it once is great, doing it a second time back-to-back, you know, with everybody going into every game knowing that you won it last year is a really, really special feeling and a special accomplishment for this group, and battling through different injuries. And with the group that's been together for quite some time, having a lot of their core players that have played together since they were maybe U10, U9, U10, it's a really special group, and getting to kind of complete it with back-to-back ECRL national titles as we move into ECNL is a really special, thing for this group to accomplish.
I mean, it's also amazing. If I have this stat right, I heard that in your last 38 games, you have 33 wins, 5 ties, and no losses. In soccer, that's almost impossible. First of all, is that true? And what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, so it is partially true. We within ECRL, that was our final tally for the 2 years, 33 wins and 5 draws within our ECRL league games, both the regular season and the postseason. We play a lot of other games, you know, outside of just that league. And so there have been some ups and downs, but to get through that league with that accomplishment is definitely not an easy thing, given the amount of games that we play. And like I mentioned before, the age of this group, it's tough to keep them 100% locked in that consistently with all the different things they have going on in their lives as teenage boys. But it's a credit to them and their focus and intensity that we have as a group to kind of go through 2 seasons without losing a game is really special.
So, Noah, I've been calling games for 29 years, beginning in 1996 with the Colorado Rapids. And I feel like over that time and being with the best players that U.S. ever offered in the 94 team, I've got a pretty good eye for what it takes to do things right. And one of the things I like about your team, and I'd love you to talk about, is I just feel like every line, your goalkeeper line, of course, you know, one goalkeeper, but your defensive line, your midfielder line, your front runners, they all get the job done collectively and cohesively.
Yeah, it's a really special group in that way. A lot of it comes from familiarity with each other, having been together for so long, having that comfort, having that chemistry. And we've been able to really, really master the way that we're wanting to play. Really just trying to keep the ball, possess it, be calm under pressure, and really try to build out. And then, you know, when we get in the chance to go attack, really attack through wide areas with a lot of speed on the wings and see what we can do. And the group has been, they've done a great job the last 2 years, learning what I'm asking of them, taking it and running with it. It's a really special group that has all bought into what I've asked of them. And it's been a tremendous run.
You know, it's interesting. You're actually the same age as my oldest son, who I'm super proud of as well. And I like how he talks about seeing people that he hadn't seen for a couple years. And then I look at you, and of course I'm thinking of Benjamin Pronsky, because last year he was just this scrawny little kid who you still made time for. You could tell he had some touches, but he just didn't have the body. Now he's got the body and could very much be a starter. I like the way you use him, because a lot of times it doesn't matter who starts, it matters who finishes, especially when you finish at the death of the second overtime. But I guess that's my way of getting to the question of, Noah, as you see kids like Benjamin Pronsky grow, and both physically and mentally with their maturity, how proud does that make you?
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. And especially for someone like Ben, who he's been playing up a year with the team, and he really had to fight for every minute, every opportunity that he got. Like you said, he was a bit undersized for quite a while. And in the last, last fall, he just started to shoot up, and we went to play our game on Saturday, and I was sitting on the bench, and I looked at the guys that were next to me still on the bench, and Ben was getting his chance to start that day, And I think he was the tallest player that we had, at least in the field. And you know, it just goes to show for boys at this age, and a part of the developmental process is just giving everyone a chance, helping them understand that where they're at 14 isn't where they're going to be at 17 and 18, allowing them all to really have the space to enjoy and love the game and not grow to resent it. You know, if they haven't matured at a young age. He's had a tremendous year. He's a tremendous kid who's really put in the work. He's taken to different opportunities that I've given him, different suggestions that I've had for him. And we're really starting to see it pay off. And he's someone that has always scored big goals and big moments for us. Even last year in the semifinal of the national championship with ECRL, we won 1-0 and he scored the winning goal for that. And so I was talking to some people after the game yesterday, and I'm not sure we win back-to-back national championships without him being in the right spot at the right time. And that's for a striker like himself, that's the most important trait. Is doesn't matter anything else other than do you score goals and when you get the opportunity in big moments. In the last 2 years, he's done that. So it's been a great journey for him, and a lot of fun to watch him.
Obviously, we opened the show with Allison Pronsky, who stepped up big for United Soccer Coaches, and she was there watching her son. And I know you also have a very good relationship with your father, who is very instrumental in the Kansas Rush. Can you tell that story, Noah?
Yeah, so this group started with him, actually at a different club, but you know, he started the team up, you know, when they were about U8, U9, and we have, I think it's still 8 kids from the original group or sometime around then that all joined when they were 9v9, 8 to 10. And he had them from then until about U15. And so he coached them for six, seven years. And this group has his identity written all over it. You know, it's just a competitive group. We're relentless work effort. They work so hard. The biggest thing that we have for our team is competing. And he put so much time and energy into this group. And to see it pay off for him, even though he might not be on the sideline at all times, is just a great feeling for me, getting the opportunity to kind of take over for him these last 2 years and seeing it pay off. I know it's just, I can't say enough about it without getting too emotional, but it's a really special feeling for our family and our family that is the soccer team as well, to have done this for so long and to kind of see it getting closer to where everyone's heading off to college and we start that journey. But yeah, it's just a tremendous group that started at such a young age with him just starting it up at 9v9, 7v7, and seeing where they are now, kind of growing into young men is definitely crazy.
If some coaches that are listening to the United Soccer Coaches podcast just rolled in to the show right now and want to know why I want to talk to Noah Parker, and part of the reason is because Kansas Rush has won back-to-back RL titles, winning it at the boys' side at 16 and then again at the boys' side at 17. And the question is, who is the Kansas Rush? What is the Kansas Rush about? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, as a club, it's kind of one big family. As our team goes, it's the same way. And it's about building soccer players that are loving the game, enjoying the game, having fun doing it. Our team, like I said before, it's designed around having fun and competing together. Everything we do off the field is together. We travel together. We spent a lot of time traveling the last 2 years, and we go and we'll stay in an Airbnb where it's just all the boys together and me and a couple parents. Those experiences are what they'll remember in 10, 12 years when they're having their own kids and telling them about their days playing soccer. And that's what's really special about it, is what are we taking and what are we building for them beyond just these years as they're playing club soccer competitively? How does it impact them as they start having kids of their own down the line? And that's what's really special about it, and having been around it and seeing it, and what excites me about all the boys that we have now with this group.
And then along the same lines, who's Noah Parker? Give me your story. Where were you born and how did you fall in love with coaching? Because it's clear you love it. You got to love it when you go 33-0-5 in RL games.
Yeah. It's definitely a unique path for me to get here to coaching, and especially coaching a team at this level. Grew up in Kansas City all my life, been in Kansas City. Grew up playing competitive soccer. At a certain point, maybe around, you know, 13, 14, it wasn't for me. And I actually stepped away from playing soccer and maybe just had gotten a little burnout from it, but moved on to some different sports in high school and stuff like that. but it always stayed around it. You know, having a dad that coached it and having a lot of friends that play it. It was always the love for the game never went away, even though I wasn't playing it per se. But around 17, or as I got to the end of high school, I both got back into playing and started coaching. And from there, I think I've been coaching ever since, you know, for the last 10 years and starting with, you know, your just local 4v4 rec teams and getting to work with 5 and 6 year olds and teaching them the game, teaching them the basics, teaching them how to dribble. At some points it's, you know, herding cattle, as some would say, with the little kids. Those experiences I wouldn't trade for anything, because those are the kids that you still remember now as they're some of them are just graduating high school from 10 years ago when I had them at, you know, 15, at U5, U6. Seeing them now is just crazy, and watching them go on to play at different levels. Continued on playing, played a year at Rutgers University, and then moved on and just got my degree at University of Missouri and just continued to get into more coaching with club teams. It's been a unique path, but I just have a passion for it. I love doing it. Sometimes it's a little speechless to think about, you know, just the journey that I've been on through it, and to have this team at this level and get this opportunity. It's a really special feeling.
It's actually nice to find you speechless, because that shows the emotion of all you've accomplished at quite a young age. But one thing I know about great coaches is they are good storytellers. And before we came on the air, you said you have some pretty good stories about the association and United Soccer Coaches. This is the United Soccer Coaches podcast. So, Noah, I'd love for you to share some of those stories on what the association's meant, or whatever stories you got.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, all my life been around soccer, been around coaches. Part of that, those experiences were going to the convention when I was, I think it was in Kansas City in like 2003. And so I was probably 7, and I got to go that year. Still at that time, the drafts was happening at the convention as well. In 2003, I remember being there. I think I got like a scarf, you know, an MLS scarf. And then again, when I was older, I remember a lot more of it in 2012. It was back in Kansas City. And that time I got the whole experience. And like I said, that was right before I really started coaching myself, and tagging along with my dad, going to different speakers at the convention, seeing the draft. You're still going on in 2012 with the draft there. And then, you know, just getting to meet different coaches that show up at the convention, building that network, learning from them, hearing how they think about the game. It's really special. And to me, that was where my love for it kind of probably started, is finding myself in those environments, being around the game so much, getting to the convention, seeing all the people that show up, the massive community that it is, and then seeing them around and being like, oh yeah, you know, remember running into you, you know, in Kansas City, or what that's meant for my dad. It's really special. Yeah. And looking back on those memories, going to that together. And then obviously did it again, you know, when it was back in Kansas City here in 2022 as well. And yeah, and then helping me with some of the education as well. Yeah, you know, have my advanced national diploma through the United Soccer Coaches, you know, working with Dave and Rob and on the education side, and teaching me things and helping me learn about what it means to be a coach, helping a team reach this level of success this early. It's meant a lot to me, and it's such a great community.
We appreciate that story, because I think the association does consider themselves a community and a family. I think very much the way you've set up the Kansas Rush and your squad there as well, Noah. I am intrigued, and I don't know if you're a look down the line type of person or stay in the moment type of person, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. 10 years from now, does Noah Parker have an idea of what he would like to be doing?
We thought a little bit about it. I have my own family starting soon. I have a son that's going to be born here at the end of August, beginning of September. I'm not sure how long coaching will be in my future. It's something that you go back and forth on. Obviously, it takes, the one thing that you learn about it is it takes a lot of commitment. Coaches, they give up time, and they have such a strong passion and commitment to do it. As you start a family, you know, it's tough to tell what could hold, if it would ever work for me to coach him one day. I'm not too sure about that, but yeah, in 10 years, I hope I'm still involved in the game in some way, whether it's as a spectator. I'll still be involved in however I can. That's what's really important, in helping grow the game. And you know, with Kansas City, it's such a unique soccer community, such a big community where there's so much room for growth and potential with the talent that's in the town. It's an exciting time.
Well, and Kansas City will be a World Cup host city this time around in 2026 when it returns to North America, the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Are you hoping to get to a game, Noah?
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be the dream. I know they're starting to release the tickets. I saw some of the pricing on it, and, you know, I'll have to be finding some different ways in maybe. But yeah, it's a tremendous time right now. I mean, you know, with the Club World Cup going on, we were watching. I know even just this weekend, we had the entire team down in the lobby at our hotel in Virginia watching the Club World Cup final between PSG and Chelsea. And I can't only imagine what next year is going to be like with the amount of people that are going to be coming into the country, the soccer and how big it will be. It's going to be a really special time for all of our youth players in and around. It's only going to accelerate the path of the game and the growth of the game. And that's what really excites me. And if I make it to a game, great. That would obviously be great since it'll be here in Kansas City and we'll see, you know, who's coming to town. But yeah, I'm just really excited because I think it's going to be such a tremendous opportunity for the game in our country to continue to grow and have an impact.
Final question and also a reminder, because I feel like repetition is information. Noah Parker has led the Kansas Rush U16 team last year to the RL Boys National Championship. Took that same team with a sprinkle of additions to the U17 title. And you've already touched on it, Noah. You're now going to move up to the National League of the ECNL. When you think about that move, what are you hoping to accomplish with your squad?
I mean, it's really exciting. Obviously, you're taking a step up in competition. The big part about it is just like the consistency and the level of teams that we'll see. Our expectation will remain the same. Nothing changes for us. We have a great group of kids that are all high-level soccer players that want to play in college. Our plan and my hope is that we'll be seeing you again come next June at the national playoffs and finding our way to a final game there. So, you know, that's, as we've talked about it, and, you know, that's already on our mind. And that's just the way our team is wired. And that's just how we do business, I guess you could say. That's the expectation. And that's the level that we expect from ourselves day in, day out. We're really excited about what next year holds as well.
Noah Parker, a bright young coach and head coach of the Kansas Rush that win it at the death in the second overtime, the U17 Regional League Boys National Championship. And just a couple days later, he's featured right here on the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Noah Parker, congrats and thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well done, Noah. And coming up, one of my favorite interviews in the entirety of the United Soccer Coaches podcast, Jason Newman, a longtime friend to the association, is currently the treasurer and also the convention project director, among other things, including partnerships, you name it. Jason Newman, plug and play. He's got a lot to say, very transparent. You don't want to miss Jason Newman after this message.
Unlock your coaching potential this summer with United Soccer Coaches. This summer, take your coaching to the next level with our blended and online educational programs. Whether you're a seasoned coach or just starting out, United Soccer Coaches offers flexible, high-quality courses designed to fit your schedule and your needs. Gain valuable diplomas, dive deep into game tactics, leadership, and player development, and connect with fellow coaches from around the world, all while learning from the best in the game. The Summer of Growth is here. Don't miss out. Visit UnitedSoccerCoaches.org to learn more and register today. Your coaching journey starts now.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. As promised, we're joined by Jason Newman, who played a pivotal role in making sure United Soccer Coaches keeps on trucking. And he's now the treasurer. He's also the convention project director. And I think we'll focus a lot on the convention. It's in Philadelphia, where he's also built a great name for himself. The man really does so many things. We'll get into that. But right now, let me say hello to our friend Jason Newman. Jason, welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Well, good evening, Dean. I appreciate everything you've done for the association. I'm interested. I'm sure the audience is. You know, we missed you for several months. How have you felt about restarting this fantastic podcast? You've always been the voice of the association. Why don't you share with the audience your feelings having this now the third podcast since your return?
I love that question. And coincidentally, I was just telling Sarah in between guests how excited I was. I was just in Richmond. I raced home to be able to do these interviews. And I told her part of racing home was I love it. I'm thrilled to have it back. I missed it, you know, so much. I love talking to people in the game. I love hearing their stories. And I feel like that's what the association's about. I feel like that's what the podcast is about. So emphatically, Jason Newman, I can tell you that I'm loving being back, and I don't mind the format as well. Once a month is fine as long as we're spreading the message of United Soccer Coaches building up toward the convention, and that's what we're trying to do. So thank you for the role you played in bringing me back, and let me just tell you, I appreciate it so, so much.
Well, listen, it was a foregone conclusion to bring you back. One of the many attributes you have, and this isn't the Dean Linke show, even though it should be, is you have ability to connect. And to be honest, that's something that the wonderful office staff have tried to do over some difficult months. And I remember Paul Payne, you know, expressing some transparency about the challenges we faced. But again, one of the things that the staff take to heart is their ability to try and give a sense of appreciation for each one of our members. And again, that could be a criticism fairly leveled at us, not necessarily the staff, but perhaps we haven't provided the services and experience and journey that our members, whether they have been with us a couple of years or certainly 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, you name it. I'm sure you've known over your many years, people who've been with us 40 or 50 years, how much the association means to them, not meant, but means to them, and how much it sort of invigorated not just their soccer experience, but they felt part of a unique association, you know, certainly something that I think, if my math is correct, coming up to its 85th convention. Again, thank you for everything you've done to keep the flag flying and your ability to connect. And that's a great inspiration for us as a staff to try and have that ability to interact with our members as you do with your guests.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, in a non-sycophantic way, it's been great to connect with you along the way, Jason, including restarting it. And then even interviews that I did with you prior to taking the hiatus have been great because I love your journey. And I mean, look, if you're honest with us, you'll admit that you really got stuck in to make sure the association was saved, Jason. So I know that this association means the world to you because you got enough things to do. You didn't have to mess about with this, but it was important to you.
It certainly was. It's very close to my heart. You know, soccer has been everything in my life. My mum, when I was 4 or 5, might have thought there was something strange because I wouldn't kick a soccer ball. But by the time I was 5, she said I was going through shoes, you know, once a week. But again, everything or what little I've done pales in comparison to the staff. I don't think the membership understands, you know, how our very small crew have taken on extra functions, had to learn new skill sets. I'll give an example for this convention. So last year, we were fortunate that we executed the convention in a shorter time frame than normal. Credit to Angie. It was our first profitable convention in 4 years, but it had dedicated staff to execute the convention. And so this year, you have people like Alison Pronsky, obviously our managing director, Miss NSCAA or United Soccer Coach. She's 25 plus years. You've got Sarah Wilbur, who's taken on extra roles. You've got Sarah Mason doing a diligent job with exhibits. You've got Pat, you've got John with the awards. You've got Dave Simeone doing a stellar job with education and program. We've just got Paul Marco to join besides his full-time college role. And we've also got Lisa Morrell, who is now our one person in marketing where we had 5, you know, 3 years ago. And listen, Michael Kadama's done a great job with our communities. He's helped with helping them have some educational sessions this year, which they weren't afforded last year. So besides the staff, I've got to mention 2 other gentlemen who have been staples through the convention for so many years. First, Roy Gordon, who does a marvelous job with our housing, not just with providing quality for our exhibitors and partners, but personal care for all of our attendees if necessary, and certainly does a great job with the Red Aprons as well. And you know how important they are with the association. And listen, I would be lost without Rudy Zimmerman. He is a wealth of knowledge, and I'm not sure that we may have best utilized his talents over the last few years. He's like a young man again, because we've given him extra charge, and he's kept us on our toes and is really driving the engine. Rudy's as like a spring chicken, and again, the insight in regards to meeting and working with our partners, whether it's Harvest or Shepherd, and understanding of all the nuances of all the convention centres is just fantastic. And he's educating all of us. So again, we're very appreciative of both of those gentlemen. You know, the office staff is down to a low single digit when it had 30 people 3 years ago. And so one of the things that I think needs to be recognized for the staff is they've taken on a function. And again, people don't realize all the work that goes into the convention besides their business as normal responsibilities, as well as taking on extra tasks. Because, for example, Alison Pronsky, along with the board a year ago, were faced with some difficult decisions. And so, again, anything that I do is just to support them. But I can tell you now, with the passion, the insight, and the desire to create a wonderful experience, I'm extremely excited about the convention. Now, I will tell you that we're a long way from where we want to be, but based on planning, we are at least still 7 weeks ahead of where the typical convention execution takes place. And again, part of that is because, you know, for an Alison, again, who's the managing director, and certainly a Sarah Wilbur, they have to now support, for example, College Services along with Pat Madden. It's typically a high seasonal time for our membership. And we still want to provide some services that I can do in my spare time for our incoming and partners who are renewing. Sarah Mason started very well with our exhibitors. We're ahead of pacing for the last 3 years. We're going to open registration this week. And again, Sarah Wilbur's done a fantastic job doing a lot of testing to make sure the onboarding experience is easy and something that is not a deterrent to anyone who wants to attend the convention.
A very transparent yet eloquent answer, Jason, and I think one that the members will appreciate, because you kind of set it straight, and I think that's all they ever wanted, because they all love the association, and thanks for setting it up just that way. Now, look, it's going back to Philadelphia, and Jason, I can't let you talk about Philadelphia without reminding folks the job I think you still do for the Eagles, or maybe you don't do it anymore. I'm not sure, but I think you do. I mean, you've worked with the Eagles for a long time. Walk me through that.
Well, yeah, this season, if they retain my services, and again, I'm always grateful for that opportunity, just as I am with the association, this will be my 30th season. And the goal is for the last day of the convention, which is Saturday the 17th, I'm sure the Eagles want the number one seed. And if they do, then there's a good chance that they may play that night. So I may disappear halfway through the day. But I'm sure everyone at the convention will be grateful that I'm not bugging them about details or finances. But if they did what they did last year, they'd be the number two seed. And so they'd play on a Sunday. But again, I want to get back to the convention, because that's foremost in my mind. I'm sure you're aware of it, but, you know, next year is a big year for the country. It's 250 years since that big win over England. But really, when you walk in straight lines and wear red and say, shoot me, you're not going to do very well. But it's also the 50th year that the association has been in Philadelphia. A couple of other trivial facts for you. It's the 15th time in 50 years. It's the city we've attended the most in the last 50 years, more than double Baltimore, which is six. Couple of exciting things to understand about this upcoming convention. It's the lowest price point to register in a number of years. And I can't say whether it's 13, 14 or 15, but we've decided on a strategy to reward our members. And one of the benefits for the members, and I stressed this earlier about how important it is for us, not just to meet, but exceed the needs of our members. Because when I was on the Transition Council several months ago, working with the prior board, you know, Janet Rayfield and other members of the Transition Council in collaboration with the board did terrific work trying to understand and get feedback from members about what do we pay our membership fee for. So one of the reasons for our pricing strategy for this convention is theoretically, no matter when somebody registers for the convention, if you're a member, you're always going to get a $50 discount than a non-member. And so theoretically, that's a third of your membership fee or membership fee to the association. In addition, which is new, we're going to have the starting 11 pre-convention webinars. And what this entails is from the middle of September to the new year, there will be 11 webinars that Sarah Wilbur will traditionally host, and up to 100 members can be live with any number of the presenters who've already committed. And then the webinar will be available on demand just for our members. So what we're trying to do is validate and certainly provide extra value to our members. Now, people who have already committed to these pre-convention webinars include Dan Abrahams, Bill Wedden, Dr. Colleen Hacker. We've got a couple of other people who may be new, but certainly have a great resume. And we filled 9 of the 11 sessions. If Sarah twists my arm, then maybe we'll bring on a sub in early January. But again, every one of these clinicians are also going to be on site. So part of the rationale is the presenter may talk about a topic that triggers further discussion on site. And it's also an opportunity for the attendee on the pre-session webinar to interact with the presenter and then certainly, ideally, follow that up on site. Again, one of the things that we're really focusing on is engaging the attendees, whether they are members of the media, whether they are the staff at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, certainly our attendees, our illustrious coaching communities, or whether it's going to be any of the presenters or clinicians. And certainly we can't neglect all the many volunteers and staff who work throughout the year, and those who are present on site only see really the tip of the iceberg. They see everything come to fruition on a Wednesday to a Saturday. But I can assure you that, again, those magnificent 7 in the office are working extremely long hours, but putting their heart and soul into the preparation of the convention. And I've also got to add the new board. And one of the things about the new board is, credit to the old board, they really wanted to have board members who had a little bit more than a soccer background. They wanted each of them to have an expertise that would lend itself, whether it was awards or membership or finance. And so the board members are doing extra work and working with the office staff. It's a fantastic collaboration.
Wow, I like this all business, Jason Newman, as you're covering the key points, and the timing is perfect because this will air on July 17, and I think registration is right around now as well, right? Registration is beginning for the convention, Jason.
It is, and I'll give you a couple more insights. So again, last year, we were excited to get the Chicago convention off, especially after such a short time frame to execute it. One of the things that we're trying to add to that is we're bringing back the second field session. So there was a choice based on fiscal responsibility to only have one field. We've included an extra window of lectures. So theoretically, there are 9 different classrooms that will have 5 lectures per day. And so that's 120. That doesn't include the referee track. It doesn't include our partners at US Youth Soccer who have their own sessions. What's new this year, though, is that we are going to go the extra step and collaborate with US Youth Soccer. So one of the field sessions will be their director of coaching, Chris Bentley, working with Paul Marco, which is something we haven't done in the past. We're in strong discussions with United States Soccer Federation They had their largest involvement in several years last year, waiting to hear back from them in the next 2 weeks about what they'd like to execute. We've got, for example, Christian Lavers from ECNL, who's volunteered to attend. And then obviously we're working with other partners to expand and make this very much a network of all people throughout soccer. Couple of other things about the lectures. We're going to have the traditional six special topics, but something else that's new this year, we're really focusing on a specific large room for panelists. And one of the things we're going to do is invite, we're going to challenge, that's a word I use a lot. We're going to challenge some of the presenters, maybe to work with presenters they haven't in the past. And the goal is there to then look to not only challenge, but inspire and have the attendees go away thinking more about how they can impact the game or the subject matter. How about this for a competition? We're going to invite members to propose a panel topic, and then we're going to choose the best two and invite them to be on one of the panels. And that will be all under Sarah Wilbur's leadership. And again, I do apologize because we ask a great deal of her, but she provides tremendous effort. And so I'm hoping she'll accommodate me with that request.
The plug and play, Jason Newman, who wears multiple roles in addition to being the treasurer, he's the convention project director, doing a great job breaking down the fact that this will be the 50-year celebration of being in Philadelphia 15 times, well above anybody else. Let's keep selling. I mean, what makes Philadelphia so great for the convention? Because I know there's multiple factors, Jason.
You know, one of the attractions of Philadelphia is historically, we have been a predominant Eastern Seaboard membership, although in the last 20 to 25 years, we did a better job in regards to improving our strategy to network and certainly having a presence on the West Coast, whether that was LA or Anaheim. I will tell you, the move to Chicago surprised some people. That's well attended. And there's nothing wrong with going back to our home base in Kansas City. That certainly has additional value. And I can tell you that that city has certainly improved in regards to amenities to visitors, whether it's hotel, whether it's the convention center. They've got some of the best restaurants in the country. It's a hidden secret. So we're very fortunate. And let's not forget Baltimore, where we go back to in 2 years. Again, it's been several years since we've been there. So when you think about it, we spread northeast and west and central. We don't go far south. We don't go to Nashville or Birmingham, Alabama. But again, we can only hope, and that would make it a shorter journey for me.
We've covered a lot, but I still want to keep an open window for what I'll call last word, or in case you miss something segment. Jason, what do you want to leave people with in a conversation where you covered a lot and did a great job doing it?
Well, you know, first and foremost, the association is extremely indebted to its members. We certainly welcome anyone who is not currently a member or was previously a member. The convention is open for everyone who has an interest in soccer. One of the things I haven't mentioned is we're going to have a little bit more of a business flair as well to the sessions. We're talking to some entrepreneurs or people involved in sports and soccer administration and not just coaching. One topic that we've sought more presenters for example, is artificial intelligence and how that impacts soccer. We've got a terrific clinician coming, and she's going to be on one of our pre-convention webinars. So again, what we're trying to do is provide a platform for our attendees to reacquaint themselves with old friends, meet new friends, benefit from the plethora of different educational opportunities, and experience a fantastic city in Philadelphia, and then get the flavor to come visit us in Kansas City. And I can tell you that we've already begun planning for Kansas City. And again, that is to help partly the current staff. And so they have an opportunity next year to really enhance even membership benefits and college services even more. But the most important thing for us is we're all coaches, or we're all lovers of the game. and we are always receptive to new ideas. And I'll leave you with this. We've done a terrific job posting, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, about the upcoming convention. And again, Lisa Morrell's done a great job with branding. But what intrigued me was on one of the posts, I saw somebody say, well, I hope it's better than Chicago. And I took the liberty of reaching out to that person. And, you know, they must have thought, who's this idiot reaching out to me? But for us to get better and to serve others, we need feedback. And we need to know where we can improve. I would certainly hope people would be appreciative of all the efforts of the staff, but for us to provide better quality and ideally economically, because again, this isn't the best environment financially with the threat of tariffs. And, you know, interest rates haven't dropped since last year. The challenges of some uncertainty economically. We want to provide the best experience. So any feedback prior, during, or post-convention, or if it's to do with membership or coaching education, it will only help us get better. And we certainly thank people for their constructive feedback.
Full stop, period, and amen. Jason Newman, thank you so much for being on the United Soccer Coaches podcast. I especially appreciate you asking about the return. I'm loving it. Hopefully that shows. And I love when I have great guests on like you. Jason, really good job. Thanks for being with us on the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thank you, Dean. And don't let your wife work too hard with the upcoming World Cup.
Thank you, Jason. She certainly does have a heavy lift, as does the association, but we're all in it together. When we return, we end the show visiting with Dan Turi, the chair of the Disability Allies community within the association. Dan Turi wraps up the show after this message.
Calling all soccer coaches, players, and fans. Get ready for the ultimate soccer experience as we celebrate 50 years of the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia, PA, January 14th to 17th, 2026. This is the can't-miss event of the year, where education, innovation, and the passion for the game come together in one incredible location. Whether you're a coach looking to level up or a business professional in the soccer world, this convention has something for you. We're talking about world-class educational sessions led by top experts in the game, a full exhibit hall showcasing the latest in soccer gear, technology, and the business of soccer, and so much more. You'll have the chance to network, discover new trends, and experience everything the soccer world has to offer. Celebrate 50 years of growth, achievement, and community in Philadelphia. Join us January 14th to 17th, 2026 in Philadelphia, PA for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. Visit UnitedSoccerCoachesConvention.com to register now. See you in Philly.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast, where we are spreading a wide net and into multiple people as we do every month, building up toward the convention in January in Philadelphia. We're pleased to be joined by a very good friend of the association, Dan Turi, who's now the chair of the Disabilities Allies Coaches Community. And Dan joins us now. Dan, welcome to the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thanks, Dean. Really excited to talk about all of the good things happening in the soccer space with you and the rest of the listeners.
Yeah, I want to get to it, but I want to remind everybody that while we like you, Dan, we like your daughter even more. And I feel like it was your daughter that really kind of allowed multiple people at multiple levels within the association to kind of wrap their arms around her and your family. Can you just talk a little bit about that story before we dive in a little bit deeper into what you're doing with the Disabilities and Allies Coaches community?
Yeah, so it actually fits in well with how we got connected to soccer. So my daughter, Anna, she recognized an opportunity to bring and celebrate other voices in the game. She had experienced some not so positive moments in soccer and said, there has to be good out there. Let's go find it. So that started her relationship with the association and with her podcast she ran for a few years, Keep the Game Beautiful. But Dean, it's actually interesting. Now she's teaching special education up in Wisconsin, having just graduated this past December. And her first opportunity to really work with persons with disabilities was through adaptive and inclusive soccer programming, getting to know players and helping them experience the game in all the ways we love.
And to be fair, her experience of the game, and we definitely want to get back to the disabilities part, particularly the fact that she's teaching special education, but she did it all. She was a player. She was a referee. I mean, she did, you know, you mentioned the podcast. She did a little bit of everything.
She's actually continuing now as a coach and emerging and gaining confidence, coaching both high school girls and boys as an assistant coach up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. So finding ways that she can embrace the game and then share and create opportunities for others.
Well done, Anna, and well done to you, Dan. And let's do this. Who is Dan Turi? Tell me your story, where you grew up, how you ended up where you are. Give me your elevator speech, if you will.
Sure. So in a nutshell, my day-to-day, I work in cybersecurity. So I help organizations with something that can be very difficult and complex at times. Outside of the professional responsibilities, I live here in Iowa. My son is entering his senior year of high school. My wife, a medical social worker in a hospice program. But I grew up with an older sister who in the early 90s was playing high school soccer. And I remember she was picking chunks of glass out of the field that the city said, this could be a soccer field if you make this into something. Seeing the paths through the various rye and wheat fields that she had carved from her own jogging and not knowing what the game could offer. I did play a little bit in high school, but I was never that athletic individual. It wasn't actually until later in life when I started to see the joy that soccer gave my daughter that I became more involved. And unfortunately, my son, the soccer playing bug never bit him, but he loves watching the game and always following teams, Liverpool being one of his favorites.
Well, you mentioned your daughter teaching special education. Where did Dan Turi, what was his Malcolm Gladwell tipping point to say, I want to help those people that maybe aren't as able and then thus become the chair of the Disabilities Allies Coaches Community?
You know, for me, there's no good way to put it beyond I was the kid that wore the Husky jeans, right? I was always a little bit of extra weight on my body. And I was the kid who wasn't selected. I wasn't the most skilled. So when I started getting more involved in soccer, I wanted to make sure that the things I was a part of, there was always a space for everybody. The game can be beautiful. It can include all of us, and helping coaches and players to see ways that we can make it that game is incredibly important. Even during my time as a middle school coach, I just wrapped up five seasons and decided it's time for another season for a little bit, something else in my life. You know, I'd have players of all varying abilities, physical, cognitive, emotional challenges. And how do we create a space where everyone is as equal as we can?
As we build toward the convention in Philadelphia, it's no secret that there's been some heavy duty changes within the association, but one thing remains constant, and that is we care about the different communities that are out there, including the Disabilities Allies Coaches Community. As you build toward the convention and perhaps set up meetings and try to get in touch with different coaches and leaders in the game, what are some of the things you're hoping to accomplish in this role?
I think the past few years, we've seen tremendous visibility in the disabilities space. So on the exhibit hall, we've had opportunities where the U.S. Soccer Adapt and Thrive programs have come together, extended national teams. The various entities are bringing in blind soccer demonstrations, cerebral palsy. It's just an opportunity for people to see the game in a new way. I think as we look at convention times, really we've shifted from a trying to let people know the playing opportunity exists to now helping people connect with it more, to helping people think about how we can integrate players of all abilities into any team where they find the right level of challenge and opportunity. Coaches are more comfortable in the past few years, even at Chicago, coming up and sharing their own stories about, you know, maybe they have a health ailment or consideration that they want to work through, and how can they get ideas or connect with other coaches on what that might mean for their futures. So our group really strives to connect with everybody to help them find their space.
Speaking of connection, how did the association make the exact connection? Everybody now knows we already knew you. We knew your daughter, who's a superstar. How did the connection, and how was the connection made to say, hey, we need you to chair this all-important Disabilities Allies Coaches community?
One of the most pivotal moments was with Kate Ward, who with her obligations, as she started to do more coaching at High Point, as she started to become more involved in U.S. soccer national leadership, she needed to find other leadership to start stepping into this role. So we found ourselves in Chicago talking about how a few years ago, nobody outside of a small circle understood that there was an opportunity like this for programs. And today, there's so many more avenues and approaches that people can utilize. So to us, our group has shifted its focus a little bit from having to just raise awareness to now really connecting people, because there is an awareness and now they just want to get involved. They want to learn the skills or the new approaches.
In your role as the chair, when you're done, what would be one sort of measurement for you to say, you know what, I did a good job, Dan? It might sound like a tough question, but I think you can find me an answer.
Yeah, there's one line that I have utilized the entire time in multiple conversations. And what, I guess there's two things that I'd like the time that I spend in chairmanship to be remembered as, is one, really using that terminology, adaptive and inclusive. So intentionally saying we can make changes in our rules and policies and our game formats to accommodate more players. Sometimes it's as simple as a player needs an orange ball for visibility, but our league has always required us to use a specific white ball with a particular logo on it. You know what? Let's have that conversation. There's a good case to be made for making an adaptation there. And then the other is a line I've used is adaptive coaching is good coaching. And that comes a little bit out of in special education, it's been mentioned every student should have an individual education plan, not just those who legally are required to, but any student in any setting should have something that aligns with their goals. So when I think about adaptive coaching as good coaching, being able to take any team and think about how can I make this challenge easier? How can I make this challenge tougher? How can I create additional factors outside of a win-loss ratio or how many goals scored or how many saves a keeper makes? When we start having those conversations in every aspect of our coaching dialogues, it makes it easier when we have a player who presents with a challenge that we need to respond to differently.
How important is it for you as the chair of the Disabilities Allies Coaches community to also interface with the other communities that are part of the association, whether it's the Black soccer coaches, women's soccer coaches, LGBTQ, and so on and so forth?
I think the support that we give one another is incredibly important. And I think there's intersections and challenges that we face that we need to collaborate on. So we have had conversations about perhaps when one coaching community might respond differently to having conversations about a physical challenge or an emotional challenge or a communication challenge. So how can we work to kind of co-brand alongside with? And then in those groups, oftentimes they have very deep relationships with coaches who may encounter a challenge that we can support and align with. Certainly with our veterans group, Veterans may face challenges as they return back. I know that a few years back we chatted with a coach who had suffered a traumatic brain injury, and soccer coaching was something that was very healing for him, that he could give back and contribute towards. And without our veterans community making that connection to us, I don't know that we would have been able to have as rich of a conversation.
Great to spend time with Dan Terry, the chair of the Disabilities Allies Coaches Community for the United Soccer Coaches. As I mentioned, he will be visible in January at Philadelphia at the convention. Two more questions for you, Dan. The first one, just a simple fill in the blank, and that is, my name is Dan Turry, and I'm proud to be the chair of the Disabilities Allies Coaches Community because?
Because it's a way that I can make the game accessible and available to anyone who wants to participate.
And knowing that you have been around the association for several years now, when you hear these three words, United Soccer Coaches, what do those three words mean to Dan Turry?
This is your association. This is your association if it's your first year. It's your association if it's your 35th year. Connect, identify with the groups and the purposes that you align with, and lean on it, because the game's stronger when we all participate. And this being a resource to unite us together is an incredible opportunity to take advantage of.
As we say goodbye, please send our best to your rock star daughter, but I can't let you go without you telling everybody how they can get involved. If people want to reach out to you, if they want to join in the cause for the Disabilities Allies Coaches Community, how do they do it, Dan Turry?
So the best way is Gmail, disabilityallies@gmail.com. We also have, for all of our coaching communities, staff liaison Mike Kadoma, and a landing page on the United Soccer Coaches website. So you can fill out a form and get connected and learn more about the great work that each of our coaches communities is doing.
So many years I sat right next to Dan Turry and his daughter on Podcast Row. Now I sit with them on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, and it was better than I even expected, Dan. And you did a great job. I'm really thrilled that you're taking on this role and that you're involved even in a deeper way with the United Soccer Coaches. Thanks so much for being on the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thanks, Dean. Let's keep doing the good stuff together.
All right. I want to thank Dan and all of our great guests. Special thanks to Sarah Wilbur for her great work at the association, and my producer, Colin Thrash. For each and every one of them and all of you, I'm Dean Linke. We'll see you in a month for another edition of the United Soccer Coaches podcast with Dean Linke.
Thanks for listening to the United Soccer Coaches podcast with Dean Linke. If you have a guest you want featured on the United Soccer Coaches podcast, please reach out to Sarah Wilbur with suggestions, questions, and input. Her email is swilbur@unitedsoccercoaches.org. That is swilbur@unitedsoccercoaches.org. In addition, if you have a company that would like to sponsor the podcast or run advertisements in the show, please reach out to partners@unitedsoccercoaches.org. That's partners@unitedsoccercoaches.org.